Ah. Well, that's good, because that helped me get myself together. Thank you. Need to gather my emotions and bring everything back to center again. So this morning, or this weekend, I was trying to think, what can I talk about? Sometimes things come very quickly for me, and sometimes it's a struggle. And I say to people, you know, the struggle is real. That's what I type to the ladies who type up everything, and they're waiting for my talk titles. And it's been an interesting week, an interesting few days. And so I thought, there's an event coming up that that we are co-sponsoring with Unity of Washington, Unity of Gaithersburg, Unity of Fairfax. And anyway, so I thought, well, taking what's going on within my own heart and soul, the title is going to be How to Get Back to Peace Where There Is No Peace. How do you get back to peace where there is no peace? And as you remember, several months ago, the monks, I don't know if many of you were following them, but there were monks who were walking from Texas to the United States capital, to D.C., Washington, D.C. And it was a title, A Walk for Peace. And it was a simple act. And they started off kind of small, but it was a pure act from their hearts. And whenever Buddhist monks leave the temple to do a walk, it's because they feel called to bring that sense of peace to the world or whatever. And so again, it's not an easy thing. They don't just do, let's go for a walk in the park. They're doing it with purpose and intention to bring awareness to a particular, and usually when the world is out of balance or out of whack, they will leave the monastery and walk. A pure, simple walk, coming from their hearts, a walk for peace. Their goal wasn't to garner thousands of people, right? Like as if they were on a crusade, or to gain some kind of spiritual followers or converts. They weren't out here trying to convert people, which is why sometimes I had to see my little Christian brothers and sisters. For the most part, everybody was good, but they were out there, like they were doing something horrible. You know, Jesus is the way. And they weren't talking about Jesus weren't the way. They were just simply walking for peace. But thousands of people began to follow. Thousands of people. And it was simply a walk for peace and to rely upon the goodness of strangers, to put them up in places and to feed them. Because that's what monks do. They go out with their bowls. If you notice them, those long black things carried their offering bowl, their bowl that they would use for people to put food in. It was a simple gesture, but a powerful one, because what emerged was an organic happening. An organic happening where people began to just meet them on the road. Wanted to just catch a glimpse of them. Or maybe just to be able to put fruit in their bowl or to give them a flower. Or to maybe walk with them for a bit. Or just to maybe even meditate, because they would have, you know, in the evenings, they would have a meditation time and a little dharma where they might give a little talk or a message, or before they began the day, they began their day with silence and awareness and mindfulness and meditation. So they gathered to maybe have that experience with them. And myself and two other colleagues, Reverend Russell from Unity of Fairfax and Reverend Edith Washington Woods from Unity of Gaithersburg, we decided we wanted to kind of go, and we had an opportunity to go to the National Cathedral, which was one of their closing stops while they came. And, you know, I was able to stand on the steps of the cathedral with having all the monks there. And I have my little picture of me in my little black hat. But it was important for me to do that. And their message was simple. It was about choosing peace every day. And again, they weren't doing a lot of preaching, but they did have a message sometimes when people would gather after dinner and they would have a little Dharma with them. And their message was, he would say, the venerable monk, he would give an assignment. He says, here's your assignment. Upon awakening every single day, did you have an opportunity to affirm, to claim, to set an intention, to state to yourself, today is going to be my peaceful day. Simple as that. He used to say, get up in the morning and set the intention that today was going to be a day of peace for you. It's going to be my peaceful day because peace is a choice. It's a choice. There are many other things. It's a state of being, but it's a choice for us to consciously enter into that state of peace. The Bible says, you know, that you can say at some point, and this was an Old Testament prophet talking about, I think it was Ezekiel, and he says, peace, peace. And in those days, there'll be peace, peace, but there'll be no peace. Everybody's saying peace, peace, but there'll be no peace. It's an intention. It's a choice, a conscious choice. So the three of us were very impressed with that, and we decided, well, you know what? Let's continue the energy. And so we're having what is called a peace walk. It's a peace walk, and it's sponsored by Unity of Washington, D.C., Unity of Gaithersburg, and Unity of Fairfax. And we're coming together, and we're going to be meeting. It's coming up really soon, May 9th, and we're going to start at the Supreme Court. And then we're going to walk. It's not a long walk, but we're going to walk to Union Square. Now, at first I thought, we're walking to Union Station? They're like, no, Rev, Union Square, which is in front of the Capitol, near the Capitol. So this is going to be a walk. Again, we'll have some speakers, but it's not all. It'll be a candlelight walk. We'll do it May 9th. It'll start at 7 o'clock so that we can bring our light. And I said, well, we're all about bringing light, are we not? We're all about bringing light. So it's going to be a candle walk. We'll have candles. Or we'll have some sound, some signs that you can bring your own signs. We'll have some signs that we're going to be making up here at the church. There'll be some prayers, of course, some music, and not a lot of long speeches or whatever, because the idea is to walk for peace and to walk in peace. So, I want Unity of Washington, D.C. to be well represented. So check your emails. You'll see there's this flyer that should be on our email, and you'll get this flyer, but it should be on our website as well. Bring your family, friends, or whatever. If you're thinking, what can I do during this time, this season we're in, you can walk for peace. You can bring your light. You can hold a high and set a high vibration and a high intention for the world. Look what the monks did, right? So never think that, a single desire, intention, thought, action cannot have a rippling effect. It can. So hopefully you will join us. But one of the things that, as we talk about, and so each of us, we, from time to time, Reverend Russell, Reverend Edith, and myself, we're on a news, and we'll just say, today is my peaceful day. We'll just send that out to one another to help remind us, peace is a choice. Peace is a choice. But what we were touched much about is how hungry people were for peace. This was organic. People just came out and said, peace? Oh, yes, I'm for peace. And so this is something that people's souls are seeking, because there's so much unrest in the world. We see it, not just in our nation, unrest in the, even though we're leading a lot of the unrest in the world. But, but there is unrest, and it can be challenging, for us not to be affected by the energy that is in the world. It's a challenge for us not to be affected by some of the things that are taking place. And so, even though we can be bombarded with all this energy, all the craziness that is going on, I really believe that the vast majority of people on the planet, everyday human beings, really just want peace. They just want the basics of life. They want to live decently and well and be fed and be clothed and have family and have connections and feel love and feel joy. That's all every human being really wants, right? And so, you know, I think we have an ability to play a part in that. And the question I've been asking myself these last few days is, how can one get back to peace where there is no peace? And I'm not talking about just peace in the world, but sometimes peace in our own individual lives. There's some things that have been happening, and I recognize, oh, I don't have any peace. I don't have any joy. And so I have to work to say, wow, who's responsible for my joy? It's me. I cannot let anyone or anything take my joy or take my peace or disturb my spirit and my soul. So the question I've been saying, okay, Sylvia, how do you get back to peace where there is no peace? Now, if your notion of peace is that life will never throw you a curveball or a changeup ball, and those of you who know baseball know what I'm talking about. You can get a curveball, it looks like it's coming straight at you, but then it curves. Or you can get a changeup, it could go fast and all of a sudden slows down at the end. Well, if you think life is not going to throw you curveballs and change balls, or that a situation might be unexpected, or a condition or a circumstance that you hadn't planned on, or a perspective coming from something you thought was sure, this was a sure thing, and it didn't turn out to be that. Well, if you have that kind of expectation as to how peace comes, then you're never going to know peace. You're never going to know peace because life is going to give you all of that. All of it. Ups, downs, ins, outs, curveball, everything. Expected, unexpected, joy, sorrow. It's going to give you all of that. And so, you know, you're going to have, as a result, your fair share of disappointment, unfair treatment, misunderstanding, misrepresentation about who you are, what you're capable, a whole bunch of stuff's going to come. You're going to get your fair share of it, right? So then if that's the case, then the question becomes, how do you handle all of that? How do you handle that? Especially without losing your peace, your inner peace. When I was I discovered unity. He was saying how he discovered unity. I discovered unity in New York City under the wonderful leadership of Reverend Eric Butterworth, an icon in the movement. Some of you may not know him. He's been long gone, but he wrote a book called Discover the Power Within You that had a longstanding radio, very popular, very well known in New York City. And he was the perfect minister for me. I loved his mind and his thinking and whatever. And so he used to have a phrase that he put on a little ditty thing here that I've had since my days back in New York City. And I've been in unity now probably almost 50 years or so. And he has this thing, and it said, and I've shown you this before, and it says, nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. Well, I've been trying to live up to that statement for over 40 years. And I'm going to be honest. I've not done it yet. I've not done it yet, right? And, you know, I've been disturbed today and yesterday. I was disturbed last week, you know. And so I'm thinking, wow. I used to think enlightenment was my goal, if I could just become enlightened. And now I'm recognizing, boy, if I could just not be disturbed, I'd be happy with that, right? I told somebody the other day, I said, I think God in these last 2 months has given me some lessons. Some, you know, because you get your lessons where you kind of live and work. This has been my place where I've lived and worked. So a lot of my spiritual lessons and places of growth have come through my ministry here, right? And so I said to someone, I think God is testing me before I leave, and I'm failing badly. And then I said, well, maybe I won't give myself an F. I'll give myself a D. Because I have learned a few things. I have made some changes. I have made some progress. And so while I can't fully say that nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul, I have recognized that, you know what? I don't stay in that state of disturbance as long as I used to. That I do know how to find my way back home. I do know how to get myself into another state of being when I recognize that I am disturbed. And so I began thinking, but what if disturbance has a purpose? See, this is kind of indicating that nothing should disturb us. But what if our disturbance has a purpose? What if your lack of peace is trying to show you something? What is it? What if it's trying to show up in your life to tell you something about yourself? After all, it's your soul that is disturbed. Not somebody else's soul, your soul. And in unity, we say your soul is the sum total of your awareness. That's how we define the soul. Your spirit, your mind, your body, heart, soul, the sum total of all that. So if something is disturbed in your consciousness, in your soul, in your field of being, perhaps it could be that it's something for you, right? Maybe there is a message for you. Maybe there's a lesson for you, or that something needs your attention, or something needs your action, or something needs to show you are out of alignment. That something is not right. I don't know if you remember the movie, the Star Wars. And in the movie Star Wars, we had the Master Jedi was Obi-Wan Kenobi. And Obi-Wan was in touch with what? The Force. And Obi-Wan said one day, and it became it's now become like sort of an iconic phrase. But he said, I felt a great disturbance in the Force. And this was, I felt a great disturbance in the Force. I fear something terrible has happened. He could feel the disturbance in the Force, that something was amiss. And likewise, Obi-Wan Kenobi, being a Jedi master, could feel that something was wrong in the Force. Also, you know who also said that? Darth Vader. Darth Vader was the antithesis of Obi-Wan Kenobi. He wasn't a Jedi master, but he was the villain, the supreme villain. And even Darth Vader said, he said it this way, I sense a disturbance in the Force. And the disturbance was Luke Skywalker, this young thing, was about to come on the scene. And even Darth Vader could feel that, right? And so Obi-Wan could feel Darth Vader's presence, and Darth Vader could feel Luke Skywalker coming. I feel that there's a disturbance in the Force. So the point that I want to make is that not all disturbances within your soul are necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes it could be a signal for you that something is out of alignment or something needs your attention. And so I began to focus on some of these A's here. Because not only can, you know, if your disturbance be a signal regarding the alignment of things, but it also can be that there's some type of an awareness that you need. So you need alignment, that something's out of alignment. It could be showing you need alignment. It could be showing you that you need to perk up on your awareness. It could be showing you that you need to, your acknowledgement of things need to be sharpened. Or maybe it could show you that there's a level of acceptance that you need, also that you can take right action. So I said, okay, these are the things that I need to focus on. Because you can't heal or correct what you are not aware of. Amen. You just can't. And so if you want to move forward in your life, you've got to become aware of what you're unaware of so that you can heal it. If something's not working, if something's out of line, then you've got to become aware of it. And so a disturbance helps you to see, well, this ain't working right. Something ain't going right here, because if it's all peace and flowers and lilies and la-la, you'd just be in the unconscious la-la-la land. When something has to happen to wake you up, there's a disturbance in the Force. And the Force is the energy and the essence of God, of life, right? So there's a disturbance. calling for growth when you're too stagnant, when something is not right in your own consciousness, right? So you've got to become aware of what is happening. And most of the time, it's to be aware of what's happening within you. It doesn't mean that, you know, whatever's happening outside of you is not necessarily happening or a bad thing. Yes, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that they're not out to get you. Okay? You got to be aware. But you may not have to worry about that. It's showing you what you need to be about in your own being, in your own self. So yes, stuff may be happening out there. They may be doing stuff or whatever. But it still is pointing to who? You. What is it that I need to become aware of so that I can heal within myself, so that I can be successful, that I can move forward in my life? Because once you are aware, awareness is key. You got to get awareness first. So the disturbance helps you to be what? Aware. It wakes you up. So you could be aware, you could be awakened. Because sometimes when you're asleep, you got to be awakened. I've been having challenges with this leg. I don't know, you know, a side effect. And I could be in a dead sleep, but boy, this pain will wake me up. And then I have to get up and I have to move my leg because it's the stiffness and the stillness. And so I get up and it could be 2 or 3, but when the pain says, wake up, I wake up. I get up, I stand up, I move it. I exercise it. I do what I have to do to heal it. Then it quiets down. And then I go back to sleeping because it's too still. It wakes me up again. So once you are aware that something is out of alignment, you can do 2 things. You can struggle against that awareness. You can struggle against it mentally, emotionally. You can resist it. You can resent that it's happening. You can get all into the, oh, woe is me. Why is it happening? All that. Or you can jump to the next 2 A's, which is to acknowledge and to accept. Accept that it is happening. Accept that it has happened. Because your acceptance of it is what can free you up for the last A, which would be action. What do I need to do about whatever it is that is taking place? What is it that's shaking me up? What is it that is disturbing my spirit and my soul? What is calling for my awareness, my attention, my acceptance, my acknowledgement, my action? What is it? What can I do? Because acceptance of something happening doesn't mean resignation. You don't have to say, oh boy, look at this has happened now. I just got, no. Acceptance is necessary, but it's not necessary for you to be then resigned to it. But it may be the thing that's going to spur you on to action. What do I want to do about this? So when you have the awareness and you begin to know that something is not in alignment and you want to acknowledge that within yourself. You know, sometimes we can't acknowledge that we're out of alignment or something that we are doing is not right. So you got to get into acknowledging it. So if you're upset, if you're hurt, if you're angry, if you're whatever it is, you know, sometimes in unity, we have a tendency to want to gloss over those experiences. And I forgot the term we use. It's spiritual bypassing. We want to bypass stuff. And I've learned that doesn't work for me. And so I've learned to acknowledge, you know what? I'm angry. You know what? I am hurt. You know what? I'm disturbed. You know what? Whatever it is, I acknowledge it so that I can do what? Heal it and move past it. If I do the spiritual bypass, it's going to come up in some other kind of way. So I become aware that there's a disturbance in my force. There's a disturbance in my being and in my heart. Then I want to get to, well, what is this? And I want to acknowledge whatever it is that is taking place within me. So it's a state of mind. And once I do that, okay, I'm acknowledging my feelings, my this and that. Now what? What do I want to do? Because I don't have to be a victim. You don't have to be a victim. I can say, oh, I acknowledge, okay, the disturbance, I ain't right, I'm out of alignment, blah, 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 blah. What do I want to do? Now, what do I want to do? What can I do to move myself to a higher state of consciousness? What can I do to move myself out of the state that I'm experiencing into a state that I want to be? What is it that I have to do? And so what do I need to do to bring myself back into alignment so I can restore my peace? I had a cup of tea this morning. And sometimes I use yogi tea. And so as I was meditating over the message, this is what my yogi tea said. Accept who you are in this moment, but acknowledge who you want to become. Accept who you are in this moment. I accept all of me. The pain, the joy, the sorrow of leaving. I let that be. My upset about this, that, or the other. But it says here, but also acknowledge who you want to become. I want to become a better version of myself. I want to become, you know, all the things that I talk about, that I teach. I have to live that too. I have to become that too. This is important for me. So I'm accepting who I am in the moment, but I also am recognizing who I want to become. I also want to recognize who I've been. I've known who I am and what I've been and how I've served this church. I know what it takes. And many of you were not here. I wanted to see when she asked about some of the things. I wanted to turn around because many of you were not necessarily here at the beginning of my tenure. And you may not have any idea of the blood, the sweat, the tears, the sacrifice. You know, before we had this big, beautiful church. Before, when I didn't have any problem of cleaning the bathrooms in our old little church. And some of you remember our bathrooms were not the prettiest. They were rough looking. You didn't know when maybe I said, okay, there's nobody here. I got to count the money. So I grab anybody, help me. But then again, I know and God knows. I know and God knows. And so the place where I am is who I have wanted to become, but there's more for me to become, even here in this place and in this ministry. I count it all good. I count it all joy. The ins, the outs, the ups and the downs, the disturbances, the sorrows, all of it. Because it has brought me to this place where I can feel that I can say for myself, well done. Well done. For myself. Because I say it before God. And I'm happy to be able to be at peace with that. I gave my all. I did my best. And so if there's any disturbance, it's all right. Because I know how to get back home. I know how to I get back to my peace. The scripture says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. My job is to keep my mind stayed on God. Nothing out here can disturb the calm peace of my soul. Nothing. So just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward, and I will do my best in these remaining months, you know, to give everything. Floyd said, boy, Reverend Sylvia is working, still working up until the last minute. And I said, I have made that commitment. I said to somebody else, I think I'm just going to stop and I'll pick you up and see you all in June, that I wasn't going to just do anything else. She's laughing. But I'm going to do all that God directs me to do. I love you all very, very much. I love you all very, very much. and I appreciate you. I behold the Christ in you. Amen. Thank you.